Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to NASCA. We're on scan 2871 as a podcast, or I'm sorry, Blog Talk Radio show. Just a couple things that I wanted to go over. We have a single purpose here at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violence or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do this so with these two goals in mind. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. CSA, or preventing and presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who's interested in the many issues involving prevention. So we are again at scan 2871 today, and I have, my name is Kim, and my co-host tonight is John. So we're going to, we don't have a guest this evening, but we are going to just talk about maybe pain and how pain affects your body and stuff, especially when you're trying to recover from any kind of abuse. So it looks like we've got some panel on the phone here. We've got John and Nancy and Bill, our founder.
Hello, everyone.
So, hey, everyone. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey there. How are
you?
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we have a good night tonight lined up. We have a lot of trauma-related issues that we're going to talk about. We're dealing with pain and how it's affected, you know, basically your lives from the beginning of what you can remember. And I think it's a good topic. I think all of us here can really relate to that, and anyone that's here in the show tonight can relate with that. And we're going to and definitely welcome any callers tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we also have Nancy on, I see. Hey, Nancy.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good evening, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for being on tonight.
Yep, always a pleasure, always a pleasure. I think pain is definitely a good topic. You know, we can all relate to that. We've been there. We've come through a lot of it, and I think it'll be great for us to share tonight, just, you know, how we got through some of our pain. So I am looking forward to tonight's show.
Great. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, me too. And Mr. Bill, our founder. Welcome, Bill.
Oh. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hello, Bill.
Well, as you can see, hi, John. As you can see, we had a problem coming up with a guest tonight. We have another problem on Friday, by the way, but this one was the next one, and I simply couldn't do it. So We're going to have, I guess, a generic show, a discussion show, and I like that the topic has been picked already. It's a good topic. And, of course, we want to continually invite people to come in and join the conversation and, you know, make a contribution to whatever's going on at the time in terms of the topic and the issue and so forth. But you're right, Kim, everybody has pain. I don't know anybody that's skipped the pain part, you know. Not that it's popular. It's not, but it's just, it's very common. And, you know, by the way, of course, there's physical and then there's mental and there's emotional. All of that's included as a sort of a consequence of trauma in our youth. So, boy, there's a lot of topics there, and it's a good choice for you. I put in the description of the show that we're dealing with pain. Call in and join discussion.
No.
So maybe that'll attract somebody.
Yeah, anybody who wants to talk about their pain. I mean, because it manifests differently in everybody. I mean, there's all different, you know, head to toe scope of things that could, can manifest. And I think in myself, it seems to be my spine, and I've had several spine surgeries, and I know John has had some issues as well in that area. And so who wants to talk about that? Mm-hmm. Who wants to start us off here?
I'd be glad to start this one out tonight. For the simple reason that I want to kind of go in and hit some certain areas that actually more specialized in the area of trauma, okay, related issues that we run into as early as you can far back remember. So, you know, in my situation and what happened to me was I was originally, you know, sexually abused when I was 8, okay, and 9 years old, and after that, I was even further traumatized by being inside of a courtroom at the age of 10, okay? So I noticed, you know, through my earlier days that I was feeling things within, you know, my neck areas more than anywhere originally, that I couldn't put any amount of fathom on about where it was coming from, how it was getting there, and what were the causes of it, you know. So basically what I did was that I ignored it for many years, okay? And up until I was to about the age of 14, okay? So for some reason, I don't know if it came in to do with growth patterns, and this is what I wanted to get at, on what happens to your spine in about this age right here, because this is our time for growing into, you know, adulthood, into our teens, in our, you know, early stages going into college. These are our growing, you know, where we top out, so to speak. I mean, you may have a growth spurt. I've seen some people get early growth spurts at 12, 13, where some people have growth spurts even in the college years, okay? So when your spine, okay, has been affected by what I would nonetheless call it than brain damage, okay, that's been caused by the triggers and the trauma that is related to childhood sex abuse, definitely comes into play as far as like physical aspects go, okay, too. And this is one of the things I wanted to hit on, because I know that we all, I mean, I don't know about all of you, but after I was abused, I can tell you that I started seeing a psychologist and a social worker, okay, when I was 12, okay? So, and now I didn't stay with that my whole life now, okay? That's just when I realized what had happened to me, I guess. Does that make sense? In other words, I didn't know that I'd actually been sexually abused that way until I was really 12, And it just hit me like, this is not right. You know, my body's not right. My mental capacity as far as thinking about issues and my friendships and my relationships are not right, you know. So what I started doing back then was running, okay. So I used athletics of all kinds to, I guess, try to get out of that pain and find something that I was on my own with, okay? So here's the thing is that I could not have friends due to my abuse. So I isolated, you know, from everyone, basically, and that included the friends because at that time I found out who my friends were and who they weren't, you know? So then I started running, you know, and when I ran, let me tell you something, I ran where I had to call my parents up to come pick me up because I ran so far I couldn't get back, you know, and I just wanted to go, you know, so I did abuse my body, myself, about the physical things that I put myself through athletics, probably, you know, over the years, because it was the only thing I knew what to do, that I could do well. You know, and it led me to, yes, playing, you know, in very high level of baseball till I was 45. I coached probably thousands of kids. I was a part of the world championship Little League team out of Louisiana that just won a few years back. I wasn't the head coach, but I was the initial founder of that league with the guy that started that. So I used that area, and that was my forte, was to be that role model in sports. However, it took a toll on me, you know, and just because of where I even sit here today, I told Kim earlier, and I talked to Penelope, and of course Carol goes through it all the time, and I know a lot of us there have. I had 6 needles in here earlier today, you know, and they did nerve blocks on my sciatic nerve, you know, and that's just one area that I specifically suffer from the worst. Besides the fact I have fibromyalgia, I have arthritis in my spine, I have degenerative disc disease, okay, I do suffer permanent nerve damage, okay, that's what it is. So this is what my body has shown me now to, you know, have lived in this life of being now a 46-year survivor of childhood sex abuse, is that I'm starting to realize that I have no other way out of this thing except to hopefully keep a positive mental attitude on everything that I do. Because obviously physically, if the best doctors can't cure me, then I have to find other resources to kill that pain. In other words, I'm using my mind to fight that pain inside of me, within my heart, by being here tonight with you all and sharing, you know, Kim's story a few weeks back and you know, knowing what's going on with Penelope right now. And, you know, these are the things that are curing me with my pain, although I cannot do anything else about it. So I have to resort, you know, to this. And this is what actually, in my opinion, is my life and my savior, is being here, you know, on this panel tonight with you all. And that's where I feel like my life has led me, you know, due to this specific reason. Because not only have I suffered tremendous physical abuse over this, it's obviously emotional, it's mental, you know, and it's all there, just like Bill said, you know. There's no way that you cannot oversee another one without leaning into the other one. I mean, I don't know how I should continue to do this every day in my life, but I feel like that I've made the best adjustments that I can, you know, as of going to today. by being here with you all. I think that's a huge step in anybody's recovery with pain. So how do y'all think about this kind of stuff,
yeah,
what I'm hitting on?
I'm sorry, John, that you're going through all that. And I definitely relate to you, like I said before. It just stinks that we have to go through all that. And I know once I was talking to Penelope one time as well, and we were talking about the physical too, you know, like many of us have been sexually abused, and we talk about that and how that too is all connected and it can affect you. But I had kind of an eye-opening moment a couple months ago thinking, yeah, because I was thrown through the wall at one point by my stepdad. And I'm thinking, well, why? I'm sure that had to have hurt my back, you know. I don't know that I remember a specific time that I can say I started hurting. I just feel like I always have, you know, and I've always just kind of dealt with it until I finally started to, you know, need some help in that area as far as like muscle relaxers and things like that. So, but yeah, I don't know that I know a specific time frame. I think it's awesome that you were able to get that help, and that could be why you were able to pinpoint, you know, because you did start to get some help at that point. You were talking about through the counselor and social worker at 12 years old when you started to realize all that. I didn't get help until I just started doing it myself as an adult, getting my own help. So, yeah, I mean, that would probably affect too. Although, I don't know.
And you know what I want to say?
I don't know.
You brought something up. You brought something up right there, what I really wanted to ask you about, you know, about an age. So how does anybody really know if there is a right age, you know, or how does your body going to respond when you realize that's what it is too? I mean, yes, I was at age, say, 12 when I first started, you know, talking to other people about stuff, but I don't know if it was the best thing, you know, for me back then or not, you know, looking back at it. And the reason why I'm going to say this is because just recently we had somebody come on the show, and she has a book out. And what she did with this book was that she actually interviewed, you know, children for, you know, healing for other children, you know, which is a whole different way of thinking. You know, and that was just ingenious. It really was. And I can relate with that. You know, even today, you know, dealing with people that are my own age, being in their mid-50s, or even younger guys, you know, I can still see where that would come in, you know, to my life back then versus now. So I don't know, you know, how y'all would feel about that too, you know, about how kids could have an impact on, you know, the help get through the pain of everything. Because here's the thing, is that let's put it this way, I don't know of anyone too much that doesn't suffer from some type of physical pain related from the trauma of childhood sex abuse, okay? It's a lot of things there. There might be a few, but that's in the percentages of the 90s, way in high 90s, you know? So how would that have, you know, helped out back then, knowing that that children could actually have an impact on another child's life, you know, at that age? So these are some of the things that I wanted to kind of discuss, you know, to see how y'all felt about the age factors, you know, versus what's going on, you know, with healing with pain, definitely.
Yeah, Nancy, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, my phone actually kept going in and out. I did miss some of it, unfortunately, but I am back now. But I know a lot of people have dealt with pain who have been through sexual abuse. I've had to deal with pain in my body. And it's something that it can show up through, you can have joint pain, you can have a lot of headaches. I mean, trauma affects your body, and in a lot of different ways that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, those are some of those ways. And so it's very common. And I've spoken to a lot of people who didn't really remember too much of their abuse, but they were always in pain. And then as they got older and started doing counseling and therapy and opening up, they started to, you know, connect certain things. They were in certain places with certain family members that were abused, and then they would have flashbacks in between. And again, a lot of the people who have been through trauma, especially child sexual abuse, do deal with pain in their body. It's called, what is that? I can't think of the word right now, but it's fibromyalgia. How do you say that
word?
Yes,
it's fibromyalgia.
Okay. So that basically is one of the symptoms, you know, after effects from child sexual abuse. It's so common. It's just, again, a lot of times, like, because we may not talk about certain things, you know, after you get to a certain place in your healing, but as you start to share, you'll be like, wow, that's what that is? Wow, that's what that is? And we're educating ourselves so much in our own healing. And it's just such a blessing that we're able to help other people here at NASCA, again, with this platform, through our process, because, you know, every year I'm in a different stage of my healing process, right? Sharing the process, sharing my journey, it helps me to heal, it helps other people to heal, and so, you know, things get better. The more you do that, the more, in a few years, the less you'll feel, you know, prayerfully, hopefully, right? We pray that the pain will just continue to fade away little by little. And so we're doing all we can, and, you know, to help ourselves heal, and as a benefit, we're helping other people heal. So I'm just excited. I mean, sometimes there's a scripture that says what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. And even though, yes, it was evil, right, and it was very hurtful, is being used to help other people and to teach other people, and definitely to help other people heal, because there are people who've been dealing with a lot of the symptoms that we share, and a lot of the emotions and feelings and loneliness and just the journey, what it comes with, right? Because a lot of times you don't have people around you that's been through it, that can relate. So you feel alone. You're dealing with emotions in your mind, your body, your spirit. It's a deep journey. It's not just a surface thing. So, you know, to be able to have other people that can understand and relate, it makes it so much easier. But unfortunately, some people had to go through the journey alone. And, you know, a lot of us, as we went through those things that were so evil, it's being turned around that we're helping other people. So it's being turned around and used for good, even though it was so bad. So I just wanted to say that. And I love you guys. I'm just grateful and honored to be here with you guys tonight. And that's all for now.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Great. We appreciate you. Yeah, I think that definitely I hear a lot of sexual abuse survivors say that they have fibromyalgia. I was told that as well. I have fibromyalgia as well. So I do think that's a real common one.
Isn't that so painful?
Like one of the main
symptoms. Isn't that so painful?
But, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
yes,
you just don't know when it's going to flare up.
It's a flare up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
I tell you, whenever that hits me, I use a cream on it.
Yeah. I have some salve kind of stuff that I use, too. I use it daily. A couple times a day, I'm lathering it all over my back. But,
okay.
But you got to do what works, yeah. You know. And and I've never been a big, you know, drug person either, so I'm not falling on that. Thank goodness, you know, praise God, but I'm not on that. But
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill, what have you got to say? What do you think? How has it affected you? Did you want to chime in at all? He may be.
Maybe he's not there.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll tell you what I did do, though.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there she is. There he is.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just wondering if you wanted to say anything.
Yeah, I'm going to participate in tonight's show. It's why, you know, sometimes I hang around and I listen only. But tonight, I think because of the need for a topic, I just join in, you know.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. I had more experience when I was in my 20s than any time else with physical stuff. Although I have to say, I have had a couple of serious diseases that I had to have dealt with in my around 50 and around 60 something. So those two aside, most of my pain really came from depression. I have to say, and if people don't understand this, depression for me is a physical thing as much as a mental thing, you know. I could tell you stories about how I didn't get out of there. I couldn't get out of my apartment. I couldn't get out because the pain, the weight of the pain was so great that it wouldn't let me leave. I was afraid to leave and I was afraid to come back. It was amazing. But I started to realize, you know, you're going to lose your 20s. And at that point I thought, well, that's not so bad. It's only 10 years. I tell you what, now I'm going to be 69 shortly. 10 years is a big deal. I wish I had another 10 years, you know. But the other two physical things that happened to me were I had a testicle cancer. And I knew what it was, and I was really pissed off because I knew what it was, and I knew what the treatment was going to be. And that was when I was, that was around 2000. I was 47, I think. And I went down and had the examination, had the surgery, had radiology for week after week after week. Five times a week for several weeks, and then I was lethargic. I had no energy for really almost a couple of years, but I did survive it. And there are no obvious repercussions now. And then recently, and I didn't tell anybody this, but recently I had a very serious problem, which you wouldn't know that I had the problem unless you were around me anyway, but I had a difficulty walking, just getting from one place to the other, ambulatizing, ambulating, and I kept having a weakness, and what it turned out to be was It took months of tests. I took some of these tests multiple times before they could figure out what it was that was bothering, what was happening to me, and what the prognosis was going to be. So the diagnosis and the prognosis, they took a long time to get to, and in the end, it turned out to be a blockage of a heart artery, and it was at the end of the aorta. So the aorta is the main artery that comes down from the heart and feeds the bottom part of the body. It branches off around your waist and it goes into the two legs. So it's a major artery. And I had to have it replaced. And that was a major, major operation. They cut me open from the breastbone all the way down and replaced about, from my heart down to the top of both femoral arteries, and they joined them together in a Y. You know, they could come up in a Y. Anyway, the operation took hours and hours. The recovery took months and months. I didn't tell anybody about this. Because my way of handling pain is to not discuss it. You know, it's just I don't want sympathy or something, but that took so long. I was doing NASCA all through that, and I never missed a beat with posting schedules and, you know, creating new things and joining the groups and all the stuff that I'm doing now, I was doing then. Maybe a tiny bit less, but really... and I just simply didn't share it. I don't know what that's about, but it's an ego thing, and it's not a good ego thing. You know, I haven't figured that out yet. Otherwise, most of my pain, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a while, was emotional. You know, and I had a lot of that, and I guess I still have some. Although even the depression that I described before, it doesn't repeat like that. I get it sometimes, but it's a few days at a time, you know, if that. And I can work my way out of it because I have a lot of tools, and I have all of you. So anyway, hope that was a reasonable contribution. I'm not sure what I said.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh.
Okay.
No, yeah, we were talking about how it affects us differently, and that's a good example because, John and I kind of have the same thing going. But I said I don't remember a specific time, but now that I'm sitting here thinking, my body did, and my body told, you know, was telling on me when I was about 7 years old and my appendix ruptured. I mean, there was something going on, that's what I was going to say, too, Bill, about you was every single time something happens with me, I feel like it takes forever to figure out what it is. Do you feel that way, too?
Well, it wasn't me that couldn't figure it out. It was the doctors. You know, nobody could figure it out. So it wasn't just, I wasn't hiding symptoms. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and then when I was in second grade and my appendix ruptured, they kept telling my parents that it was all in my head, that there was nothing wrong with me, I must not want to go to school, and so they weren't figuring it out, and they weren't making a big effort to either. But I was in pain, and I think that was probably the start of, you know, definitely knowing that I'm not being heard, and nobody's listening to me. And of course, that theme kind of continued throughout my life as well, just feeling that I'm not heard or seen or, you know, that kind of stuff. But I commend you, huge, Bill, that you were able to do all of that stuff through the years, through everything that was going on with your heart, because I know when I had those three back-to-back spine surgeries, I'm still not sure that I am 100% right in my head. I feel like I'm still foggy, and I just can't quite get back to the same place that I was before all of that happened. And so that's huge to be able to continue to do that and do your work and do what you love and what you need to do through all of that.
Well, thank you. I am, it's just something that had to be done. I was falling over. I could not ambulate. That's the word I was looking for before. I mean, I was really falling over. I couldn't, my legs wouldn't work and stuff. So I went from a cane to a walker to a wheelchair and then once to a lorry, you know, a stretcher or whatever, and then back over time. It took a long time, long time. When the operation was over, they kept me for a few days but only so that they could see that I was not going to die on them. And then they sent me home, and my wife
really took care of me.
Huh?
I said they got to always make sure, you pee before you can go, you know.
Poop. They told me poop.
And poop, yeah, that one too.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to use your bowels, you know. Anyway, then my wife took care of me, and I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't do anything for a long time. So I did all the work for the shows and the website and so forth from the bed, flat on my back. And again, not showing anybody, just doing it. And I don't know what that's about. I kept it a secret for some reason. And
well, I have a thought on that, just on that,
okay.
Because I felt the same way too. Do you remember just feeling like you're not supposed to? I mean, well, probably all of us felt that way since we were abused. You're not supposed to talk. And I think me, you know, I got that as a child. No, you're not supposed to talk. And then, you know, feeling like I wasn't heard anyway would make me shut up. And then, you know, I've been living with a man for 32 years that every time I try and show any kind of emotion, you know, he tells me, knock it off. It's stupid, you know. So just I feel like I've had that kind of knocked down all the time to where I don't share a lot either. I just don't. And I was, you know, raising my kids in the church, and so I would, you know, have groups, you know, girlfriend groups and Bible studies, and I asked to pray for my marriage, and if he heard that I said pray for my marriage, then he would just have a fit because he doesn't want people knowing our business. So that's probably where all of it comes from is, you know, somebody saying, we don't need to know our business. And I remember just hearing that as a theme for years and years and years.
I'm one of those guys that remembered everything so well that I was devastated in my 20s. It was too fresh. I was still too close to it. And I had no idea what to do about it. You know, and so I fumbled around through that whole decade, drinking and using. I finally sobered up at 30, which was a good thing. So I've been clean and sober that whole time, and it has helped a great deal. But the 20s, I just kind of went, oh, well, it's gone now. And thank goodness it doesn't matter, and it does matter, is what I'm saying. So my message for people that are listening tonight is don't wait. You know, if you have something wrong with you, something that's really needs to be addressed, address it. Don't be reluctant to do so because, you know, the time we have is the time we have, and you don't get it back. I wish I could say otherwise, but you don't get it back. So, you know, that would be my message.
You know, if our listeners live with anybody that's telling them that they don't, that it's all in their head and they don't need to get it checked out, ignore that person because you know your body better than anybody. So you're going
to
know whether or not.
It's kind of like the same thing when you reveal this to the wrong person that you've been abused and they say, oh, forget about it then. It was a long time ago. So what? You know, same thing. Run away from them.
Yeah. Get away from them.
Get away from them.
Yeah.
What
Nancy
I did
too.
Is,
yeah.
Yes. I actually have a list of things here that I wanted to kind of read to everybody because what this is exactly relating to what we're talking about and recognizing the signs or identifying basically abused children. Okay. So there's so many things that it never hurts to really, you know, refresh even our own minds, being we do this every day in our lives, is that it never hurts to really refresh on you know, the recognition of children that have such signs as I'm about to read. And And I'm trying to see if there's anything that I may have left out. And as I finish this, if y'all could think of anything else, but this covers quite a bit, because I'm going to go from children to the actual behaviors, and then I'm going to go to the adults, okay? So basically, withdrawal and mistrust of adults. Suicidal tendencies, difficulty relating to others except in sexual or seductive ways, unusual interest in or avoidance of all things sexual or physical, sleep problems, nightmares, fears of going to bed, frequent accidents or self-injurious behaviors, let's see, refusal to go to school or to the doctor or home. We have unusual aggressiveness in being secretive. Let's see, sexual components to drawings and games, neurotic reactions, obsessions, compulsiveness, and phobias, habit disorders like biting, rocking, wears long sleeves in hot weather due to high bruising and possible drug use. Unusual sexual knowledge or behavior, prostitution, forcing sexual acts on other children, extreme fear of being touched. So these are just what are signs of what they're listing. And when I say they, this is coming from the internet of a list of doctors and lawyers and a bunch of them that have all chimed in on this. So this is not me. I'm just reading what they have. Prostitution. Extreme fear of being touched, unwillingness to submit to physical examination. So I'm not sure why they would list the one that's on there that I'm read. I don't know. That's pretty obscure right there. I don't like that anyway. Let's see. All right. Specific physical indicators, okay, of recent sexual abuse, okay. Difficulty in walking or sitting, torn, stained, or bloody clothing, pain or itching in the genital area, bruises or bleeding in genital mouth area or mouth, it says. Pregnancy or sexually transmitted diseases, especially in preteens. Repeated urinary or UTIs. And genital blockages. So going on from, it seems to me they went from kids to teens. Now we're looking at adults abused as children. Now I'll read what they have, and maybe y'all can chime in on this, anything else here, because damaged goods. So it says low self-esteem, depression, self-destructiveness, which means suicide and self-mutilation, guilt, shame, self-blame, constant search for approval and nurturance. And number two is betrayal, so which includes impair ability to trust, blurred boundaries and role confusion, rage and grief, difficulty forming relationships. Okay, well, yep, I can relate with that one for sure. Number three, helplessness, anxiety, fear, tendency towards re-victimization or panic attacks. Yes. Isolation, sense of being different, stigmatized, lack of support, poor peer relations. So those are basically, you know, a lot of the key areas that all do technically get us in a lot of pain areas and everything I can see, you know, as far as physical, mental, and abuse of all kinds on there. So with the way the doctors are trying to figure out how brain injuries, you know, actually stem off to come into the role of having physical, you know, difficulties is always going to be something that, in my opinion, will never be a true, say, hey, this trauma caused that pain, or, you know, how do y'all think about that end of it? You know, because I just read a lot of issues that, you know, combined with a lot of us here have probably gone through every single one of those and have endured pain by that, you know. So coming out of it, okay, and trying to heal, you know, from the damages and the trauma that's, you know, imposed this on us, you know, what would you do in your life, or what was the biggest thing that you could ever recommend to somebody as far as, like, yes, getting physical, you know, work done, yes, going to see doctors of all kinds versus not doing anything about it or not saying anything about it. So what about you, Kim?
Yeah, I personally, I love acupuncture. That's my main thing that I go and do, and cupping. Because I just feel like it gets everything, gets my blood moving and everything, and I'm a little bit more clear. I did I'm still in Arkansas, and I had a cousin of my cousin's on the other side come over. She was a massage therapist, and I had a massage yesterday, which I haven't had for a long time, and I had cupping done too. But she worked on my cranial. She goes, I'm going to do some cranial work. And because I told her what I do, you know, that I teach classes about child sexual abuse prevention. And then it was part of my story. And so she's like, well, I'd like to do some cranial work. And it was the oddest thing because it felt really good. It almost felt like she was massaging, but she was just like barely touching my head. And she just went all over my head like that, and she would just stop in places. And this morning when I woke up, I felt like, you know, like when you just exercise, like just a little bit too much and you just kind of feel achy or something. That's kind of how my head is today. And I have never had that done before. So it was a weird experience for me. But now I'm curious about it. Because I want to know, you know, what exactly, you know, how did it affect me the way that it affected me? You know, I have questions about it. I love, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't like to, you know, take oxycodone or anything. You know, I'm just not a big drug person.
Exactly.
So I do
that's
that.
That's my
and
whole
I do,
life, Kim.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm trying not to do, exactly what you're saying.
Right. I mean, I try and do yoga pretty consistently, and if I don't, I feel it. I notice it for sure. And it comes on pretty quickly if I'm not always stretching and, you know, just keeping myself limber a little bit. And just spending time on myself, you know. Again, I think that, well, we've all been at that place where, you know, we were just abused as children. So it's easy to forget about ourselves and just go along and you know, do what everybody else needs. But we have to be careful and pay attention to what our body needs, too. So,
oh,
Nancy,
one time.
Would you like? Oh, go ahead. Sorry, John.
That I'll be quick. This is one time I was actually having a panic attack, and somebody I knew did what they call blink therapy. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it. or have experienced it. But basically, it's a rapid eye blinking technique, and you repeat things that they tell you as you're blinking, and just the way the process is for the one time that was I was experiencing a lot of pain that night due to fibromyalgia. Definitely, that was probably the biggest thing that night, Kim, that I was experiencing, along with a headache. You know, and my shoulders were like on fire, and just I was tensed up. I was kind of like locked up, you know, and I was worried that you know, that I was going to have to go to the hospital and to get more shots. I usually go if I get that triggered or if I get that inflamed in my spine too. That happens. I get a shot called Toradol, you know, and it's just an anti-inflammatory, but you know, it's not good for your stomach. You know, it's just something that I had to do in the past. But for this one particular incident, it was something similar, you know, to touching on the different realm of my pain that I had that night, you know. And it's kind of like what you're talking about. It was something that you know, affected you that night. And that's what did it for me on that night, you know, was that particular therapy. So I just want to throw that in there while I was thinking about it, because otherwise I'll forget about it later.
Yeah, me too.
I do that.
Yeah, there is another therapy that I was just thinking about, or exercise. It's called TRE, Tension and Trauma Release Exercises. Have you ever heard of that, John? Or
no, I haven't heard of it.
No? And it's a way that it's supposed to assist your body in releasing that deep muscular patterns of stress, tension, and trauma. And how it's done is basically by shaking or, you know, doing trembling, basically. Uh-huh. And it's kind of taken from, I guess, you know, what animals do, how they release stress. You know, mm-hmm. if we pay attention to, like, for instance, a dog, and he's, you know, sleeping, and maybe he'll just start trembling or something, you know, that could be him releasing some of the stress from the day. But he doesn't stop when his body starts doing that. He doesn't recognize it and stop doing it. He lets it play out and releases all that tension, where humans don't. We're more likely to go, oh my gosh, I can't tremble. And this TRE therapy kind of allows you to do that, to get that tremor out. And it's interesting to do. I've got to be careful, and you would have to be careful as well, because we have, you know, a lot of spine issues. But I've done it before. I haven't followed through with it in a way that I feel would be the most effective, but I do think it helps at times to just, and anybody could do it. Anybody, just next time you feel like you're going to start, you know, shaking a little bit, just let it play out and see where it goes and just breathe into it, but don't stop it, because it is, from what I understand reading about this, is your body's way of getting rid of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
I just looked it up. It's traumaprevention.com.
What is it? It's pretraumaprevention.com?
Trauma prevention.
Okay.
PREVENTION.com.
Okay.
Or T-R-E.
Yeah,
I think what John was describing might be EMDR. Is that what it was, John?
No, it's not EMDR. It's not.
Okay.
It's not. No, it's totally different to the EMDR. Yeah,
okay,
this is more.
EMDR stands for eye movement, so. Okay.
It does. It does. The EMDR is more of a long-term type therapy. where the one I'm describing to you is like instant.
Yeah.
That's the difference in them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. Nancy, would you like to chime in with anything?
Yes, I was just listening in, but definitely I can agree with you guys. There's so many different ways to deal with stress. Some people, find that speaking to a coach, speaking to a counselor, taking medication helps them balance depending on what they're dealing with, because everybody's emotional or distress and trauma side effects is different. So definitely finding, speaking, because you can have a really good therapist, but the first time you go to therapy, you can have a bad experience that can make you think that that doesn't work, right? But it's not that that doesn't work, it's just that that was not a good match for you. But you wouldn't know that right away if you're just like finally got to the place where you finally decided to go and get some help, and then you have not such a great experience. You're going to just, probably stop trying to go to another place and see if that will work for you. So, again, some people use medication. Some people use therapy. Some people go do yoga, massages, steam rooms, whatever it is. I think that as we continue to go into our healing journey and continue to walk through it to try to be better, that we should definitely try to figure out what works best for us, because we're all different, we're all individuals, but there are many different types of therapies that work for people. And I think the more we get educated and the more we talk about it, the better it will be, so that we'll be able to find what's the best healing option for us individually. So for me, writing is really helpful. I have to get back to working out. I haven't been working out as much. I haven't tried cupping. I do want to try that. That's something that I actually want to try. I have not tried acupuncture because I'm always scared of all those needles poking me. I feel like I'm going to be too busy trying to focus in, even though I know so many people who've done it and said they really enjoyed it. And so I'm sure that if I really tried it, it would be great. But, again, I just think it's important to try to find what makes you happy and where you find that your stress level is less heavy and less, prominent in your life. And like we were talking about, people who are constantly feeling the trauma in their body. But the best way to try to get that pain out of your body and those emotions and those feelings, because that's a lot. Not only are you dealing with pain, you're dealing with the emotional pain, the spiritual pain, the physical pain. It's like it intensifies the pain. So I think definitely getting your mind away and, meditating. Meditating works for me really well. It helps me a lot when I'm in meditation and when I'm praying. But that's good for my spiritual being. I pray, I ask God for signs. He'll, connect me. He'll show me, and then it encourages me and it empowers me and it gives me a testimony to share with somebody else. So that's another high for me. That like really lets me know that I'm in alignment, I'm walking in purpose. And it just helps me in my healing. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel that I'm doing the right thing. So, that's pretty much it for right now. I like what I'm hearing, very informational. And I love hearing the different perspectives. I think it's really important for us to hear different perspectives. That's what makes the world go round, and it empowers us and it educates us all. And so I'm enjoying it.
Chiming mm-hmm. in. We appreciate your opinion on that too. Yeah, because I hadn't really gone into the main things that you could do that we think about all the time. So thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry. You said what? You were about to go into what? I missed a little part. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just said I didn't go into, you know, the main things, which is, you know, just taking care of yourself, getting enough sleep and,
right.
you know, stuff like that that,
right.
that you have to do to take care of yourself.
All of that
so,
matters.
It
yeah,
does.
All of that is so
matter,
important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is. I know I get grumpy if I mean, I just feel off. I could do less than 8 hours. But I do, I'm usually not very fun to be around. I really do need 8 hours. But it, I don't always get it. But.
Do you try
are
to
you getting,
make
you
it?
Getting,
do you,
you
try
your
best?
Pattern of sleeping? Go ahead.
No, basically that was the question. Do you try your best? Are you the kind of person that you try your best to go to bed early? Or do you have issue going to bed early? Where do you fall with that? Going to sleep.
I like to, yeah, I try to go to bed by like 11:30. So it's not real late. It's not, I mean, it could be later. But, and it could be earlier too. But I just find that's about the time that I go. However, what I have been doing a lot recently is I don't turn on the TV, you know, during the day when I'm doing some work and stuff. But if I do after I eat dinner, if I turn on the TV, I usually fall asleep right away. I'm out. And then I'll have a nap, and then I'll have to wake up at about 11 and get ready and go to bed. So, but that has been something that has been – probably for the last year or so I've been doing that, and I think it could be some of the medications. I'm positive of it, too, some of the stuff that I'm taking for fibromyalgia. I take, you know, gabapentin, and I take a muscle relaxers, and I try and cut back on those throughout the day. But, I mean, ideally, yeah, I am the type of person that has to, like, have three meals. It doesn't have to be big, but I do have to have three meals, and or I just don't feel good. I get headaches and stuff. And so I think over the years, for sure, and especially probably the last 10 years, I've been able to pay more attention to my body, to myself, and what I need, which is hard, I think, as survivors for us to do that a lot of times. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah,
are you kind of an on... Are you, John? Are you a pretty on-schedule type of guy, or?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because
no.
what happens to me a lot was that the different types of pain that I endure all the time is that it could hit me with one thing one day, and then the next day it's another. So it's bouncing around my body left and right all the time. So in other words, if I have like my sciatica, if it's really, really on me bad, and what I call flare up, you know, too, just like everything else, I mean, I'm not going to be sleeping. I mean, it's just the way it's going to be until it goes away. It's just that way. Like with you, with fibromyalgia, I used to take gabapentin for that, but now I take Lyrica, which is gabapentin, but it's just its own form of it, and it's much better. The basic gabapentin didn't do much for me. But when I switched to Lyrica, I have to say that made such a huge difference in me, you know, big time. So
I don't know.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. No, the gabapentin, because they hadn't had so much of it, it was like altering my appetite, too, because those things are like horse pills, you know. And
yeah.
But the Lyrica is much smaller. And it's more of a time release, and it did the job. I mean, you know, no, it doesn't take care of it all the way, but it definitely helps with the inflammations, you know, coming up on it. And that's, you know, like what you were talking about, how we have to deal with this all the time. It's like, you know, we can never predict almost what kind of pain we're going to be in almost on a daily basis, at least not with me. I don't know. It depends on the severity, I think, of a lot of people's situations. I know Penelope, too. She wouldn't mind us talking about her. Hi, Penelope. Is that she's gone through a lot herself and a lot of the same things that I have, you know. So I can relate on what she's going through with her types of pain, where other people, you know, have more what I would call around the head, neck area, and shoulders, you know, with dealings with fibromyalgia, you know, and things of that nature, or, you know, having, you know, what I would call basically like arthritis right there in the base of the spine. So you basically get locked up, you know. So when that happens, then it affects other nerves, which then branch off into the shoulders and then into the arms, you know. So with that, you know, I have to attack that with a whole different level of pain relief. So that's when I kind of resort on the creams, you know, the things of that nature, like Voltrum is very good. You know, if you don't want to spend a whole lot of, I mean, when I say these creams can get expensive, I don't care what kind of insurance you have. They'll want to get you for, you know, $150, $200 a pop, but it's a bottle that lasts for 6 months. However, you know, there are some things out there that you could, you know, that you could explore without having to go that route. You know, so that's the one good thing about NASCA is that, you know, if you, you know, go into our contact list here, on the website, and everybody's name is on there, and I know that there's a lot of experience sitting right there in front of you that would help you out with things of exactly what we're talking about tonight, because, you know, there's a lot of other different types of pain, not just physical. We know this, you know. However, I mean, you know, Carol has her number there, my number's there, all of our numbers are there. So, you know, if you do need some information on any of this stuff, I'm sure that, you know, if we don't know the answer to a specific, you know, cause of a certain type of pain or what it may be, because we're not doctors, you know. However, we are experienced of many, many years with this panel alone that's here tonight. And so we can always can help, you know, refer you to a different platform or an area if that's what's going to help, you know, make a difference in your life. So there's a lot of resources available. That's all I'm saying. You know, so, you know, that's what NASCA is all about. And if you go on from there, you know, we have a list of our primary volunteers there. And two, you know, if you ever want to feel like you want to participate in a show like this or any other show here at NASCA, we do have a guest call-in number. And you can remain anonymous if you'd like. However, we do and would admire your input, because everybody has a different story. Everybody has different kinds of pains. And what's your remedy? You know, so it's area code 646-595-2118. And that is going to be the guest call-in number all the time. So we do have a show every night of the week. And we do have special guests usually on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And then we have an open panel nights with, like, professional call-in people on Tuesday and Thursdays. So if you ever want to be on the NASCA show, please reach out to Bill or myself or anyone that's here, and please feel free to share your story.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks, John. Go ahead, Nancy.
No, I was agreeing with him. That was wonderful. And again, you know, I'm just grateful for this platform. Place a safe place where we're able to share, we're able to talk, and, you know, we're able to learn. Most importantly, we're able to learn from each other, and that empowers us and that helps us to grow. So I'm just excited just about the future for and the direction that we're going, just how everybody's just so ready to heal and so ready to move forward. I'm just excited about the next the next week for us, where we're heading in our growth.
And two, you know what else I wanted to throw in there too is that, because we're bringing this up, is that the last three to four people that have opened up, when I say opened up for the first time on NASCA, all of them told me one thing in common, and that was for them just to do it the first time, okay? To just to pick the phone up for that first time and reach out. And, you know, after that, you know, things, their whole life changed. You know, there were so many different types of supporting, you know, cast that came into play with people that reached out to every person that I knew of so far. And that this is what NASCA is and provides. And I want to encourage anyone out there tonight that's listening that you're not alone, and that we are going through these same types of pains that you're going through. We live it every single day, and we talk to people exactly like you in some ways. Now, no story is different than others, okay? Everyone, to me, is the worst could ever happen to a person in their life is childhood sex abuse. So it doesn't matter to me what it is that you have a family here, and that you can always pick the phone up and call us at any time. And if when you call and for some reason no one picks up immediately, please leave a message. We will get back to you as soon as possible. I know we have a night owl out there in Carroll. My phone is always available. It's on the front page there, along with Carol's and Bill's and everyone that's here tonight. So please, you know, if you would like to even remain anonymous, that may be the way for you to go at first. Who knows? If you don't want to do that, you want to come out and personal message me. You can always do that. Look me up on Facebook. So it's John Anderson, and I'm there. So please don't hesitate. But I guarantee that one thing is that you will find people within the NASCA organization that can change and will change your life. I'm not going to say it's going to be me or somebody in specific, but somebody will if you just give us a chance and pick that phone up. And why wait? You know, I've seen more people come out lately in their 20s and 30s than I've ever seen over the past 20 years. And it's because of what this platform is providing. And I'm super proud of all of you all that are doing this. So please, you know, you are actually providing true, and when I say true authentic stories, you are opening up those tunnels, those dark tunnels for other people that need to come forward, that want to come forward, just like what you're doing. If you're not sure what to say or do, you don't have to do any of that. We will be there for you. But I want you to know that every time that you do that, that you're saving lives, and I say most of the time, you also are exposing the people that we need to take care of, the ones that did cause and unjust to the children. So please, pick that phone up and give us a call.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, absolutely. We're all here, and you know, even if you don't like talking and you don't want to be on the blog talk radio show, and you are welcome to go on the Facebook page and you can, you know, type in what you want to say, and I guarantee that there will be people that will, you know, come alongside you and be there for you. I personally have a resource. Phone numbers that goes out on my website or my website and my Facebook page every night. Just emergency phone numbers, because you never know when somebody might need those numbers. So we've got about 15 minutes, a little more than 15 minutes left for the show. So anyone have any words of wisdom that they would like to share before we are done here for the night? Any other words of wisdom? We've had some great, great words of wisdom. And thank you so much, John, for all that you've been contributing, and Nancy and Bill. But what else?
I don't know if this is based on my wisdom, but it is based on my experience. A little while ago, you asked people on the panel to talk about to disclose what was the single thing that really brought them the most in recovery. and I didn't get a chance to answer it, but I have an answer. And the answer for me is prayer. I don't do it enough anymore, but I did early on, and it was extremely powerful. I had to rebuild my relationship with a higher power, which is not God of the Catholic Church anymore. But, you know, there are certain things about Christianity and Catholicism and Judaism and, for that matter, Buddhism that I find admirable and follow, you know, things I'd like to follow. But the point is that even if I can't envision a picture of who God is, you know, I don't try. You know, I believe there is a God. I believe that God's too big for me to understand, you know. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be able to handle my problems, I guess. But I don't try to do that. But what I do is I turn to the higher power for a lot of reasons. Some of them are reasons of because I need to calm down. And we were talking before about yoga and, you know, other things that acupuncture and massage. Those are all things to help you. I guess the eye movement thing that John was talking about is another one. But really, I found that, you know, if I can really, I use the word surrender to my higher power by giving it over to him and not trying to understand and not trying to predict. And then I get up and I proceed with my day, that moment of prayer, which sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's a minute, you know, sometimes it's longer. It'd be a ceremony and I have 10. But anyway, I don't live my life in prayer, unfortunately. I wish I did. But when I do turn to prayer, then it doesn't take very long before I realize that I can kind of stand up and get out of the house and go do the day. And I always have a better day when I do that. So that has been the one thing that's impressed me the most, is my return to spirituality, which is a different, you know, return than I had as a child. But it's stronger too, and I don't need to understand it. As a child, I was trying to understand God, you know, and trying to understand religion really, that is not understandable to me. So I stopped trying. And when I stopped trying, it all got better. So I recommend the surrender that I'm talking about and then the following of whatever direction comes to you. And just don't question it. Just walk one foot in front of the other. So that was my answer, Kim. I hope that was okay.
I agree with you, Bill. I think that personally, in my own life, that has been what has helped me heal. And you know, I felt very lucky and blessed to be able to find, you know, God at a young age. And I think that even though my mom fell into the abuse cycle with my dad, that or just the neglect, I think is what it was, and putting me in situations that weren't appropriate for children. But I think that I've been able to forgive because I have that higher power, you know, in my corner. And I know that, you know, somebody else is always there for me. You know, survivors, I think that a lot of times we still feel alone. But, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the higher power thing is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, and just like I said earlier, having that spiritual connection, that guiding light, that confirmation, it brings you peace, it brings you hope, it's healing, it's therapeutic, and, you know, through that confirmation and you have that trust, you know that that's a consistent love, unconditional love, and it's not judging. Is just so safe and so peaceful and so loving that for me, that's been a big part of my healing journey, the spiritual part of my of myself, of who I am, and really feeding that area helps me. It really does. It helps me. It gives me hope. It gives me strength. joy, right? Because it's a joy that nobody could give me and nobody can take away, right? It's a deep peace, a deep joy, a deep love. I mean, just all of that makes me feel good. It makes me so happy just knowing that I have that. And again, when you get that confirmation, when God shows you through people, he sends you angels through people, the situations that you may be dealing with that are difficult, it's just an extension of his love. It helps me a lot. So I agree. Very important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nancy. Now, when were you introduced to God? Was that as a child or as an adult?
And who is this? For me?
Who are you asking?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you said Bill. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, Nancy, when were you introduced to God?
Yeah, so for me, I was introduced to God from my grandmother when I was 6 years old. Yeah, I got bit by a Doberman, by a dog, Doberman Pinscher. This was in my country. I did share a little bit of that story on one of the interviews. So pretty much the dog bit me on my face. It bit me on my neck, my back, my legs. So I have like a 7-8 inch scar going down my neck, and like he bit my face. So I was on the newspaper in my country. It was like a big deal, right? I died and came back. I was out, was at peace, felt beautiful peace, light, happiness, and then I came back, right? And when I had to recover after surgery, I lost my voice. I had no voice for a few weeks, and I stayed with my grandmother and my mom. My mom was a maid at the time. It was the owner's dog that bit me, and my mom had to go back to work, and I stayed with my grandmother. And my grandmother nursed me back to health, and not only in the physical, also in the spiritual, because she would tell me stories about God and these just unbelievable stories, right, that helped to empower my faith and help me to really even see myself in some of those situations. And so that helped to be a guide in light. And then I would test God. I would really test God. And then I would see him move, and it would just wow me, like, wait a minute. So our relationship, I thought I was being like, yeah, all right, I'm testing this thing more like that. But it surprised me because he would just blow my mind whenever I would test him. And like, God, I know you're definitely going to throw me away now, you know, or God, I know I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy of your forgiveness or of your love or of your healing or whatever it is. He would always just surpass my understanding, to be quite honest with you. But, I first came to learn about God at the age of 6, and it was not from my mom. I didn't grow up with religion, but my grandmother was a prayer warrior. She was a fearful woman of God, and that's who I learned about spirituality and learned about God from. 6 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my grandmother, who is my great grandmother, who lived with my grandma, my mom's mom and grandma, and she used to watch Lawrence Welk every Saturday night. And I would go over to their house and stay the night with my aunt, who was only 2 years older than me, so we grew up more like sisters. But I remember every Saturday night we'd watch the Lawrence Welk show with my grandma. It was funny. That made me think of, yeah.
But that's good.
Yeah. But yeah.
What did you learn? Yeah. Like, what do you remember? What sparked your interest? Or, you know, what caught your interest, your attention?
Well, I was curious because my aunt had started going to church, and there was a bus that came and picked us up. And so they started to come and pick me up. I guess my grandma talked to my parents or whatever, and so they came and picked me up. And I just remember, I don't remember my Sunday school teacher's name. I don't remember what she looks like or anything, but I just remember feeling very loved when I was at church. And, you know, I was a bus kid, kind of like, you know, when you go to school, a bus kid. And I think that some people didn't, you know, want, you know, to interact, maybe not knowing, you know, how much they could interact or whatever with me. But I was chosen to be Mary one year for the Christmas play. And somehow I ended up not getting the part because this other kid got the, there was some misunderstanding. And I just remember thinking, well, that kid's parents are part of the church, and so, you know, they're going to get their way. And I didn't have kind of that person to stand up for me, which I felt, you know, throughout my whole
right.
life. Was, I didn't really
right.
have anybody. But I knew in church I felt safe. That's where I felt safe. And I was about six
good.
Years old, too, 6 or 7 years old when I started going to church on the bus. Every Sunday they'd come pick us up. And, so, yeah. That was neat. And I'm very, very thankful that God had a plan.
Right. So it was the faith that captivated
yeah.
you, the of it, the love. Nice. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew that that's what I wanted to be that Sunday school teacher for other kids. And that's what I did throughout 25 years of my kids growing up, because my kids were spaced out. So I spent about 25 years in children's ministry, and you know, and I know I did. I was able to touch some kids' lives, and so that, you know, that was good. That was what I was supposed to do. And it was hard to get me away from that because I loved being a Sunday school teacher so much. But God had other things in mind for me, and this is, you know, at, you know, this blog talk radio show, what am I trying to say? I'm getting all tongue-tied, is a part of that, you know, part of my future of how I'm supposed to speak out. And so, yeah, I had to be pulled away from my Sunday school job.
Yes.
And I still miss it sometimes, but I'm educating adults, so that's a good thing, too. So we're down to 2 minutes. John, is there anything else
yes.
you want to say before we get going?
Yes, I do. I did want to, was speaking on prayers, is that there's a person in particular that's part of our family that I think is really needs our prayers, and that's Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could sure. keep her in your prayers. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we sure will.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
going through some hard times.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I haven't had a chance to talk with her much, but, yeah, we sure will. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for being on tonight. I appreciate y'all being here. And remember
thank
that.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Yeah, and I want to
yeah.
thank everybody for you know, kind of gathering together on this this kind of disjointed night because I didn't find a guest. But it worked out really well with the four of us who did congregate, and I thought it was a good show, a really good show.
Yeah.
I want to thank
mm-hmm.
Kim for
yeah.
leading it, and John and Nancy, too, for being here. So thank you again,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Bill.
You
thank
bet.
You, Bill.
Oh, yeah, thank you,
possible.
Bill.
You bet. Thank you.
Everyone have a good night.
You guys,
thank
good
you.
Night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you all for being here again. And remember, if you
thank you.
See something, say something.
Yeah.
Take care. Have a good week.
Thank you.